You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, it's been going to be a big day today, Don, because this is the eve of Incidentally. You remember a bloke came in here called Matt. Matt, M-A-T-T, not doormat or cat's mat.
Matt. No, he I don't. Come on, give me a bit more.
Well, he came in here one day and joined in, as a matter of fact, and he lives in the same apartment as me, Matt. Matt, and
yeah, what's Matt's claim to fame?
Matt sent me a picture of. He said you should source these for Don. They're earphones with a microphone that comes out of the earphones.
Yeah, haven't you seen those before?
Yeah, I've seen them before.
Okay, well, get one.
No, for you.
No, so I'm then, all right. I'm all
no,
right.
No, Don. He said, then I don't have to keep telling
Matt,
you to speak.
Matt is just making fun of something that doesn't exist. Matt, he's doing theatre, Matt.
Don, because I keep saying about the microphone, if you have this headphones with this microphone that comes
Johnny,
out of them, it stays the same distance from your mouth all the time.
Oh, no. Okay. Thanks, Johnny.
Yeah, well...
Well, you got a problem with the microphone. What about your T-shirts? Are they a bargain, those T-shirts?
People listening
No. Nobody else worries about it until you bring it up. Until you bring it up and make an issue of it.
Don.
You're short of stuff again, so you thought, I'll rip into him.
I'm not ripping into
you. You're like a woman.
I'm not sure what that means.
Well, you know, that's why women keep you on your toes.
Do you know...
You've been in relationships...
Do you know the only people in the world who are allowed to be called women now are men? That's
what?
People who have transgendered, men who have transgendered into pretending they're women.
What?
Now, by law, you have to call them women, and yet women... Did you see the woman who's being put up for the Supreme Court? I think her name is Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Now, hang on. Is this America or Australia?
Yes, America.
You're into this, so I've just got to listen.
I'm just saying to you, this woman who is being put up as the next High Court
judge or something.
Judge on the Supreme Court in America, she's a black woman called, I think her name is Ketanji Brown Jackson. I think
right.
That's her name. And she was asked by one of the people in Congress when they grill them to see if they are competent to be on the bench, the inaugural process. She was asked, could she define what a woman is? And why? Because people
this is,
who
this
are...
This is ridiculous, John.
It is. It's ridiculous because people who are transgendering now who claim they want to be known as women... are now infiltrating all parts of society, particularly women's sport, and she wanted to know what the criteria to being called a biological woman or a biological man now, and the woman wouldn't answer the question, which throws into disarray any discussion you have about males or females
who asked
in the
panelists
eyes of the law.
Just hang on. Did the panelist ask the prospective judge that question? I wouldn't answer the question either.
You wouldn't now define.
No, I think we're becoming ridiculous, John.
So we are becoming ridiculous.
Can I just?
So why wouldn't you answer the question?
I couldn't. It's insulting.
Why? It's insulting to for
to
you
me t- as a, if I was that person. It's insulting. It's ridiculous. And could I just?
No, hang on.
Yeah,
I want to know
on.
Why you think that's ridiculous.
If
you're going to make decisions based on the law, should you define what an actual woman is in today's modern day that we live in?
No, but you told me the panellists asked the prospective judge as to what she was.
No, I didn't ask you that
at
all.
Oh, well, I'm
I
sorry.
I said, could she define what she classifies as a woman?
Who? The panellists said this.
Holy man.
No, Johnny.
The woman, they were grilling this woman. They were asking her questions to see if she's fit to hold the office. She's not, hasn't been, she was nominated, but she hasn't been invested yet. So during the questioning process, Someone said, could you please explain what you think is a woman?
I think I wouldn't answer that question.
Why? No, she wasn't saying, is she, why wouldn't you answer that?
I think we're becoming ridiculous.
No, but Don, if you're going to base law on gender and...
No, mate, it's becoming complicated.
It's not becoming complicated at all. You're either biological...
You're making it complicated.
Because... We have an admiral, an admiral in the U.S. U.S. Armed Forces, who won the Woman of the Year and has been the first woman admiral inaugurated by the Biden government. And she's actually a man.
No, we've got them here too.
So how can you win? How can you win the Woman of the Year if you're actually a man?
I understand.
So you say it's becoming stupid.
It is. Can I tell you something? Male patients in England are asked if they are pregnant before scans. The Walton Centre Foundation Trust in Liverpool now asks all patients under the age of 60, regardless of your identity or gender, as to whether you are pregnant. This is before your X-ray scans. Now, is that ridiculous or not? Are you male? And they are, that's...
But this, we've discussed this the other day, Don. This is the point. If you, I said my original thing is the only people who now who can be called women these days, the only people by law who can be called women these days are men who transgender into being women and want to by law be called a woman. Now we said this when Ivan, do you remember Ivan, had to fill in a form to go back to Perth. He had to fill in a form, and the three questions were on his form. Name, address, and was he pregnant? He said he was a male, and he had to give his gender, and then the next question was he pregnant? Because people try and pull the wool over your eyes by saying if you transgender into being a woman and you're a man, you can become pregnant because you... it's pathetic. And this is what I was saying to you about Ketanji Jackson. You said you wouldn't answer the question.
I wouldn't.
Why wouldn't you answer
the question? Because you're encouraging this type of thing that's going on in this world right at the moment.
On the contrary, the person who asked the question is discouraging it because this woman who's going to be on the Supreme Court must make judgments concerning physical violence against women, must make judgments against gender-based court decisions. And if you can't define what a woman is because every second man in the world can say he's a woman and then identify as a woman, the whole thing becomes, and this is gets back to the woman who's... The man who keeps swimming as a woman in all those college swimming things.
Same as that
and
New Zealand
all the records.
New Zealand athlete of the year.
Why don't they just let them swim but give the first, second and third place to biological women?
That's right.
And you can have as many transgender people swimming as you like, but the
go and
real
have their
winners,
own go. They could have their own games.
So it's quite a sensible question to ask someone who is going to base law decisions, lawful decisions on gender, as to what she would define as a woman. And the simple answer, Donald, surely is that women have two X chromosomes and a man has an XY chromosome, but that's probably not right, but one particular species on this planet, as far as humans go, has an extra chromosome and that sorts them out from being male or female. So how did we get onto that?
Do you want an update?
On how I got onto it?
No, an update on the lady laying on the Esplanade at St Kilda. You know how you're very up and open arms?
Yes.
Well, this morning I drove past and I've got to be critical of her this morning. She was stretched across the footpath. Now, she has been laying with the direction and underneath the latrine or the sanitary block there for a shelter at night. Today she's actually laying across the footpath.
So Don, you say that it's silly I bring up about what defines as a woman. This is so pathetic.
What?
That
what?
This woman would be allowed to be there in the first place.
Okay,
and it's not a criticism of the woman. Okay, I feel for her.
Let me finish. What we discussed last night has got the residents, and some of the residents, well, one in particular, has got in contact with me.
What did we discuss?
We discussed this lady.
Oh, yes.
Now.
What residents?
In Middle Park.
You don't live in Middle Park.
I said a person has got in contact with me, a friend.
You didn't say that. You said we were discussing this. I thought you were discussing it down in Mornington.
Well, we were discussing it last week, remember? And it caused a bit of a ripple. People do listen.
Anyway, what did it cause a ripple about?
Oh, would you shut up and stop being pedantic?
Go ahead, Don.
They have complained, the residents have complained.
About us?
Can I finish?
Yeah.
The residents have complained about this woman. They've gone to the council and the council have said there is nothing they can do about her. Okay?
No, that's not okay. Yeah, go on.
Just let me finish. She gets up. She hasn't got shoes. Her feet are black. She walks down Armstrong Street and comes back with a plastic bag full of cigarettes. She butts them on the footpath. She asked another resident, as they were walking past one day exercising, for the use of their mobile phone, which the resident did give her. She then rang her mother and it was overheard, said, no, $25 is not enough, put $200 in my bank account. So she's got a bank account, she can look after herself. She goes down to Armstrong Street and buys cigarettes and camps on the thing. So I'm kind of swaying a little bit towards your thing. Yes, before I felt sorry for the girl living there, but now she's...
I'm feeling sorry for the girl. This is nothing about the girl. This is about a council that will allow people...
But they can't do anything, John. What can they do?
Okay, so Don. So you have a house, I presume, or a flat or an apartment, and you pay rates and you pay to live in the community and your precinct and your area where you live, and you are regulated to within an inch of your life. You have to pay garbage collection, you have to pay...
Okay, I understand all that.
So why can someone come and squat on the main thoroughfare?
There's no law that stops her from squatting.
Okay, so... That would be nonsense for a start. So,
what do you mean?
Why would
the council officer tell my friend who rang up and complained about her that no, we can't
do
anything?
Because they don't want to get involved in embroiled.
Who, the council?
Yes,
don't want to get involved. That's weak. If that's the case,
well,
that's
they
pretty
are weak.
Weak.
So here's my point again. This is irrespective of the woman. What happens if 100 people decided, oh, we'll take our swag down, we'll set up a little barbecue area, we'll just camp all down in the summer, all down the Marine Parade or whatever you call it, the Esplanade or the Boardwalk or what you called it, down there, the main drag that's on our bay where people go to the beaches. What happens if 100 people decided they'll camp out over the summer? Then what? You have a homeless bastion of people just living there.
Yep.
It is not right, and she shouldn't be allowed to live. And the council should go down and say, madam, we're sorry, you cannot do this. We will provide, if we can, we'll provide some accommodation for you, but we cannot have you squatting on the main thoroughfare of our precinct and our city. You just can't do this. And there's a council bylaw saying that you cannot squat or live out in the open. There must be a bylaw, and someone should go down and speak to and say, here's some alternative accommodation. We've found a room for you in wherever, St Kilda or somewhere. We found a room for you and you can go and stay there, and we'll pay you the rent for a month and then you're on your own.
But she might be like a possum. You know what you've got to do with a possum?
A possum?
Yes, you know, if you catch
her?
Shoot her? No, what you do with a possum, if it's in your roof or somewhere, you know, annoying you, you put it in a cage, but you've got to take it miles and miles and miles away because it will come back.
I see. So pull up a truck with a trailer on it and a cage and put her in a cage and
drive
her
out. No, we might have to take her to Sydney.
Drive her out to the Dandenongs.
Well, no, it might be a bit close. She might catch the train in from the Dandenongs.
That's like the bloke who had the cat. And he tried to get rid of the cat. And he said, bloke friend of his said, take it around the corner. He said, it won't find its way home. When he got home, the cat was sitting on the doorstep. He said, no. Well, he said, rang him up. He said, you've got to take him to another suburb. He said, well, no. So he drove him out to another suburb. At the time he got out, the cat was sitting on the doorstep. He said, mate, I can't get rid of the cat. He said, take it interstate. He said, drop it off in Adelaide somewhere. He said, bloke, so he actually flew over to Adelaide, dropped the cat off. When he got home, he'd been home 3 or 4 days and suddenly there was a scratching on the door and there was the cat.
Yeah.
And a bloke said, listen, he said, I'll tell you what to do. Go into the middle of Australia, get a Jeep, drive down to the Catherine Gorge, get a helicopter out into the middle of Kakadu National Park. He said, drop the cat off there. He said, and if you could abseil down a cliff into a cave, there's a cave under the river there. He said, go down there. He said, put the cat in the cave. And then he said, and that'll get rid of it. So he rang the bloke up 2 weeks later. He said, did you get rid of the cat? He said, if it hadn't been for the cat, mate, he said, I would never have found my way home. So that is no good taking the woman, in a cage anywhere, Don. The woman should not be allowed
so
to stay
So a handler,
there,
the man who was driving her interstate, would lose his way and he'd have to follow her back home. So is that the moral of your little story?
The moral of the story is the bloke tried to get rid of the cat, and if it hadn't been for the cat, he never would have found his way home because he'd gone so far into the deep jungle. Now, Don.
What about if we got on as a guest? We haven't got a guest today, have we?
Her on as a guest?
Yes, we could ask her why she does this.
Don, get in your car now. I'll wait. I'll fill in. Get in your car now.
I don't know whether she showers. I don't know whether
the
hygiene...
That's why she camps outside the latrines there, the public use. She's in there, has showers, ablutes.
No, I don't think there are showers.
Of course there's showers in there.
How do you know?
Because when you come out of the bay, you're allowed to rinse down and that there is showers there. I know that. I've seen
what,
them.
What? Yeah. Okay.
So get in your truck now, Don. No, I'll wait here. No, go down, say, look, Sam Newman and I would like to interview
you. She'll say who?
Of course she will. She say, we do a podcast. Bring her in here, sit her down here. We'll put a screen up and spray some Glen 20 on her. And see if Don, she'll be interviewed. Why didn't you stop and say, would you like to come in to be interviewed? It is an absolute disgrace, and how the residents don't go to the council and say, hey, we don't care if there's a law or not. Well, there would be some bylaw that would prohibit people camping in the open on a public boulevard. There would be some law about that. For a start, if she stretched across the footpath, how can people walk or ride their bikes down the footpath? If it's stretched across it, there would be some technical law that would not allow her to do it. And this is not against her. This is against the council allowing a precedent to be set. And it is. And all the do-gooders bringing a food and cigarettes, thinking they're being woke and they're being enlightened. All they're doing is just exacerbating a situation which will take over. Why wouldn't 100 people say, no, stuff it? He said, we live out in the sticks. He said, we love the beach. Let's go and camp on the boulevard on the footpath there for the summer and then we'll go home again. That's a joke. Next you'll be having people down there shooting up drugs and defecating on the footpath because all the latrines are the one latrine that 100 people are trying to use. This is what's happening in America. They just let it go. So I'm glad you brought her up. You said, let's interview her. What a beauty. Now, is that just...
Well, we're struggling. We haven't got a guest.
Well, you said you were going to get a man on the phone and he wouldn't come on.
Yes, but...
What?
But I did a little bit more investigative work and the interview would have gone flat.
No, that would be up to us, Don.
No, it wouldn't be.
So you said to me, have we got a guest? And I said, no, Don. He said, why don't we get this man?
You're losing a bit of interest in this podcast. Usually you got a guest each week. We're struggling the last couple of weeks.
We're not. I was tried to get on...
You've taken your eye off the ball.
I haven't, Don. I tried to get on...
Who?
Who's delighted to come on.
Who? Come on. This is a production meeting. This is an informal production meeting.
No. I tried to get on someone yesterday who said they'd come on, but...
Why wouldn't you communicate that to me?
Glenn Robbins, I tried to get on. He would be delighted to come on. Do you know who Glenn Robbins is?
No.
Jeez, you're dumb. You said that you found a show on the television. You said, oh, I've just got onto this show. It's called...
Oh, yeah. Jeez, well, you're going ratty. How old are you? Is there a pill for Glenn salinity? Robbins. I think we're going to put you in a home.
Glenn Robbins.
Yes.
Is that guy that you said was out what? In the wild and you just got onto what? Him.
Wild? Yeah, Harry Butler?
Yeah, well, by Harry Butler. But
who?
Russell Coit.
Oh, Russell. What? So there isn't a Russell Coit?
Russell Coit is Glenn Robbins.
Is he? Fucking. You're joking. See, that fellow Russell Coit, the Bushman.
Russell Coit.
That's just an alias or a character.
Tell me who the Bushman is. What's he do, the Bushman?
Harry Coit?
Yeah,
Russell Coit.
Yeah, what's he do?
Oh, he fucks up everything. So that's right, he fucks up everything.
That's right, because he's play acting. His name is Glenn Robbins.
It's called theatre. Is it theatre?
He has created this character called Russell Coit. And I said to Glenn Robbins, I said, would you come on? Because Don Scott, who I do the podcast with, suddenly discovered Russell Coit. I said, that's 20 years old. He said, at least 20 years old. He said, well, he's just discovered it and he thinks Russell Coit is actually a real person. I said, he doesn't know it's you. And he said, you serious? I said, yes. I said, he would be delighted if
Now I thought if we're going to get Russell Coit, he'd come in with his shorts and his hat.
He would.
And like a bushman, but you're telling me it's someone else.
I'm telling you, it's Glenn Robbins. And he said he'd love to come in, but he looks after his grandkids on Wednesday.
He's old, is he? He's got grandchildren.
Russell Coit.
Russell Coit.
Yeah, he's got a whole lot.
No, hang on.
He's got a whole lot of little coits. he's got coits coming out his coit. Now, Don, he said he would be delighted to come on, and I said, well, bring the grandkids in.
Russell Coit in.
Well, Glenn Robbins, who is Russell Coit? I said, bring the grandkids in and they can sit here. That'll be a bit of a distraction for Don. He was, he almost had sex with a dog that was in here yesterday.
Russell or Glenn?
You remember the boys we had on yesterday?
Oh, that was a contradiction, wasn't it?
And Tony Topic and Jake Ellis.
Yes, that was a great interview.
That was a great interview. Someone said it was great.
We could learn. You and I could learn. We are fossils, aren't we? We're a relic of a past when we listen to those young fellows.
So anyhow, they had a dog, which when I was doing...
No, Tony had the dog.
I said, it doesn't matter who had the dog. You're holding the dog and speaking to the dog while I'm doing the promo, trying to introduce them so that people will listen to us. And all you're doing is you've got your head, you say, hello, how are you? You got your head down on the dog. You could do that with Russell Coit's kids or Glenn Robbins' kids.
Oh, I think I'd be up for a charge.
Don't be stupid, Don. I'm going to the Shane Warne... Memorial function at the MCG today, and I'm on the stage with
Is that day or night?
It's day, night. Seven starts at 7. It's huge. You want to see? I was down there. We had to go to rehearsals.
Have you done a rehearsal? I was just going to say you've done a rehearsal.
Well, we had to just wear.
What did you go through your speech?
No, it's not a. I'm not doing a speech.
Oh,
no.
Well, what did you go to the rehearsal for?
Because we had to see where we were sitting. Because Andy Lee is hosting myself. Russell Coit, a.k.a. Glenn Robbins.
Now, hang on.
Oh,
I am really confused here. I am confused. Why would you... Russell Coit is going to get up and...
There is a panel.
Oh, I see.
There is a panel to say what we remember about
shame. And you're
shame.
On the panel.
I'm on the panel.
Okay, who else is on the panel?
I was just telling you that, Don.
No.
Russell Coit is on it.
Russell Coit?
Yes, that's Glenn Robbins. He
well,
is why, on...
We'll ask him, can he come in? Russell
Are
Coit.
Are you serious? I just said I asked him to come in. And did you remember me saying that he said he has his grandkids on Wednesday and it's a bit hard for him to... And then I said, bring them in. And then I got on to you speaking
Tell
to the dog
about the
and
panel,
you can speak to the kids.
The panel.
He's listened to not one word I said.
There's yourself, Russell Coit or...
Glenn Robbins.
Oh, Russell... sorry. John Newman.
Glenn Robbins. Dimitri Mascarenhas.
Who?
Dimitri Dimmer. He's the man. He was a great friend. He's a, I think, a Sri Lankan cricketer who's domiciled here now. I think he's Sri Lankan. And he played
Dimitri,
a lot.
He's Greek.
Oh, Dimmer, Dimitri. I think he's Sri Lankan. I don't know.
Okay, righto.
Well, Dimitri Mascarenhas. And he is...
He might have had Greek parents who went to Sri Lanka.
If you Google Dimitri Mascarenhas, he hit six consecutive sixes off a six ball over in a one dayer, and that's what he's famous for, hitting six sixes off six balls in concession.
In what?
Consecutive balls he hit.
Odd ball.
It doesn't matter why he's there. He's a friend of, and he played golf. He's
okay, so we got three. Is that the panel?
No. Then there's Aaron Hamill.
Oh yes, four.
And then there's Andy Lee.
Five of you. Well, but Andy you said Andy Lee is the host.
He's just connecting and
Well, there's four on the panel and Andy Lee.
Well, I didn't say there was.
So did you run through your little spool?
Spool.
Well,
spiel.
Spiel.
A spool is a thing you wind wool onto.
No, it's not. It's a thing you put your tape on. For film and stuff.
Like a spool.
Yeah, so
you
wind.
You go through.
That's right. You roll wool onto a spool.
But you also put tape on.
I didn't go through him a little spool. I went through him a little spiel, which I didn't go through. We don't... you keep your powder.
Keep it, and you've got to make it impromptu. Dry. It's better if it just comes straight off the cuff. It's funnier, isn't it?
Well, no, it's better if you don't practice what you're going to say.
I realise that. Don't rehearse.
Well, know what you're going to say, but you don't have to rehearse.
Oh, I see.
So anyhow, how'd we get onto that? Russell Coit, who is Glenn Robbins, said he'd be delighted to come on here, and he chortled.
Chortled,
Don. Chortled.
You've got to help me.
What, with chortle?
Yes.
What, and spool and spiel?
Yes, chortle is another one I've learned.
You're dog shit dumb, Don. What, chortle?
Chortle.
It means giggle or titter.
Does it?
I don't say you what is a titter. No. A titter goes around the room, you know. The people laugh. Chortle. I'm going to have to dumb myself down here to do this. So, anyhow, he laughed audibly when he said, when I said to him, Don thinks that you're actually Russell Coit. And he said...
We're not back onto him again.
Well, you asked who's on the panel, that's all.
Oh,
and we didn't go through our spool or spiel. Spiel. Yes. And it's extraordinary there. It's decked out, Shane Warne banners all around it. It is a huge production. And
how many people do you think will turn up?
Probably 60 or 70, I reckon, 1,000. And the doc is up in Sydney, and he's got taken a box up in Sydney.
Really?
A box.
For what?
Because they're going to have celebrations up there. It's
in a box?
Not in.
He's in a box.
In the Sydney Cricket Ground.
Oh, you mean, why don't you, going ratty?
He's taken a box.
Listen, you got on a little bit of that medicinal marijuana. You didn't mistake it. Again this morning, did you? The syrup, you're fucking off your head this morning.
No, I'm not off my
head. No, is it a residue of... Were you as high as a kite yesterday?
Don.
Well, were you?
Don.
Because I think you're still a little bit funny.
Don, I told you in confidence.
No. Confidence.
So I told you in confidence that I was taking a little bit of medicinal marijuana for, which is quite regulated and you have to have a prescription for it, for a little bit of arthritis. Got this from Mark Brayshaw.
Yeah.
And then I finished a bottle that I had, and it's you take a little syringe full of it, half a syringe full of it, and it's just good for arthritis and things. My fingers are working properly, and I'd run out of it, so I went to this previous bottle that I'd bought. And
what did you buy the previous bottle for?
I was given it as a trial.
For what?
Exactly the same thing, but it has the THC still in it, which is the actual marijuana component.
Yeah, right.
And so I didn't read the bottle, and I took the normal syringe full out of it yesterday.
Yes.
And ingested it, and it was 10 times the strength of what I was normally taking, because this was a solution and the other was a syrup. So I found myself a little woozy.
Woozy.
Don.
You're high, in other words.
Sort of a little high.
How did you. So what did you. How long did this last? Because I've never.
This lasted most of the day.
So what did we do? What did we do for the day? What did we do for the day? Did we do any driving?
No.
Good.
Well, I was going to play golf, but...
Well, how'd you get to the golf course?
Did you hear me say I was going to play golf? Did you hear me say that? I was going to play golf, and I tried to loosen up, and I thought...
What, at home? At home?
Yes, here where we are now.
Oh, and what happened?
I'm telling you what happened. I... try to loosen up naturally, but and I thought I can't focus on the club, and I rang my friends. I said, I'm sorry, there's something, because I didn't realize.
Is it the same experience we had when we used to have operations? Remember, we had operations when we played footy, and we'd mask the pain, or we'd say we're in more pain than we should have been. Remember that little angle you used to tell me.
Don, I was telling you, so I rang my friend up and I said, I didn't realise why I was feeling out of it. And I said, I'm sorry, there's something happened. I just don't know. It must have been something I've eaten. And I didn't recall that
Did you eat mushrooms? Apparently you get the same effect from mushrooms. You into mushrooms?
So I rang him up and I said, mate, something wrong with me. I cannot focus. So he said, well, don't come and play. So I lay in bed all day.
Did you?
And then I went and I thought I couldn't work out. So I went to the bottle and I looked at it and I thought, why is that? Why? And I looked at it and
this morning?
Yesterday. And I said, I rang my friend up. I said, I've suddenly realised why I don't feel good. I've had 10 times what I should have had, the solution, because I had taken the concentrated oil rather than the solution that they put in.
So, you after effects today? You a bit of a hangover?
No.
Well, you're forgetting a lot of things. I've been prompting.
No, I'm not.
You.
I haven't
forgotten. Well, you have. You've forgotten a lot of things. I've been prompting.
The only person's
off-air
name I forgot was...
Harry, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. The only person's... It was...
Russell? Yeah, okay. Well, anyway,
the man that started you off in the TAB.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Where'd you meet him?
What's his name?
Laurie Fowler.
Laurie Fowler.
Where did you meet Laurie?
I met Laurie at a function that you didn't turn up to, Don. You never turned up to any function. Incidentally, would you like to come to the Grand Prix cocktail party on Wednesday?
No.
Well, through the auspices of the man we interviewed here, do you remember his name? Andrew Westacott. Do you heard of a girl called
a woman called
Michelle Stamper? She was the hot guru at Channel 9. She was a star at Channel 9. And then
what did she do?
Well, she was in publicity. She was the head of publicity at Channel 9.
Is this when you were on good terms with 9?
I'm on very good terms with 9.
I know, you're very loyal, I must admit. And so what's Michelle got to do
terms,
with...
Even though we had to sue them over the allegations that clown, the photographer...
No,
I can say he's a clown.
No, what? You can't.
The photographer, he shot his mouth off, and shooting his mouth off wasn't the best thing to do.
Anyway, tell me about Michelle. So Michelle is now working for the Grand Prix.
Compensation for telling lies about
Michelle is now working for the Grand Prix.
No, she's an independent...
publicist.
Public relations person.
And Michelle has got in contact with you on behalf of the Australian Grand Prix and inviting you.
Well, she was just sourcing a guests list, and she knew we'd spoken to Andrew Westacott because I saw him at the polo down on the beach, the horse polo a couple of months ago, where I met Shane Warne down there, and I was chatting to Shane about a whole lot of things. And she knew, and I saw Andrew Westacott there, and I said, Andrew, I hope you do a better job than the people with the tennis, the Australian Open tennis. Who
hasn't
balls
he
that
got
up.
Off?
Yeah, the Australian Open tennis.
They've got off scot-free, haven't they?
Scot-free. It's cost $500,000.
Well, taxpayer money.
Taxpayer money to sort out.
And they
out
haven't been held to account.
Novak Djokovic, who will be allowed to play, and the whole, there's 9,000 cases a day rearing their ugly head in Victoria, and yet... we got closed down because of five people getting it in the state. And don't start
this
me.
This is a joke.
It is a joke.
Well, we had a scare last week, didn't we?
We did.
And I've just come out of isolation.
Have you, Don?
Yes.
I didn't know you'd ever...
Well, the fellow was sitting... Robert Walls. Yes. I won't say the fellow. Robert Walls,
yes, that's
was
right,
sitting next to me,
yes,
here.
That's correct, Don.
And so it... You know, this
yes
is ridiculous.
You've
do you want
been
me to
in
start?
Isolation. You what?
Do you want me to start? Because this is right up my.
Did I mention Alan from Wool? I saw Alan in Woolworths, and he said, "I like the podcast." I said, "Well, I mentioned
Alan."
Him. Alan.
What's Alan do?
Alan, I don't know.
Well, why don't you strike up a conversation?
Yes,
tell him we're short of a guest. He mightn't be doing anything.
He came up to me and he said, I like the podcast. I said, give us your name. I'll give you a mention. And he said, Alan.
Alan who?
It doesn't matter.
Well,
Alan,
there could
who
be a million bloody Alans.
I'm sure there is. Paul Horvath. Remember Paul?
I do. Where do I know?
We interviewed Paul here.
Yeah, about what?
Well, he was about athletics, and he was managed people in athletics, and he's got the Paul Horvath Institute or something. You can look him
up. He's got an institute.
I don't know what he's got. Paul Horvath. He was very interesting. I can't remember what we interviewed him about, but he sat here and he sent his CV or an email to me, and it took me 5 days to work out that he'd sent it. And then I asked him a question.
Because you're not computer.
That's savvy.
Computer lit.
And I remember him saying to me, he said, so I said that on the CV, on the email, and I said, well, Paul, I'm sorry, I didn't see it because I wasn't sure how to open it. He said, are you serious? I said, I am. That's why this show is called You Cannot Be Serious.
Yeah.
So he said he listens, and he told me I was at Rex Hunt's birthday party.
He told you that you were at Rex Hunt's birthday party?
He told me that he listens because I was at Rex Hunt's birthday party, which you were invited to and didn't turn up to.
I know.
So you
tell
said,
me who was there.
Octa Wilson?
People won't know Octa. Ian Wilson, who was the previous president of Richmond. Yes, in their halcyon days.
He's the father.
Father of what?
Caroline.
Did you speak to Ian?
I'm very good friends with Ian.
Okay, good. Yes. He is protective.
He's protective?
Yes, of his daughter.
He wouldn't want to be protective of it to me about it. I'd get on very
well. Anyway, let's go through to the key. Who else did we talk to? Because you're very good at remembering people's names and faces.
Most of the people who... Most of the people who Rex played with in the premierships at Richmond.
Okay.
It was Dick Clay.
Oh, Dick, full back. Yeah.
I think Dick Clay was there.
Was he?
I hate to say he was there if he was...
Not, yeah, but that doesn't matter. You forget
dead.
People.
No, Dick Clay's all right. Dick Clay was there. John Ronaldson.
Oh, he's buggered. His ankles. How's he walking?
67 kicked those drop kicks.
Drop kicks.
Yes.
From that pocket in front of the members.
That's it.
John Ronaldson. His ankles, no good, are they?
No, they're no good. Kevin Sheedy was
there. Oh, yeah, Kevin. We all know Kevin, don't we?
Yeah, and...
come on, give me some nondescript.
And the man that Laurie Fowler...
Laurie Fowler ran through John Nichols?
Because I just told you that.
No, I do remember that.
And he said to me, how's Don? And I actually didn't know that he knew you. And I said, and I didn't like to say Don who. And he said, how's Don? And I said, yeah, yeah, he's good. He said,
how would he know that I know you?
What?
How would he know that we've got a relationship?
Because he knows we did the podcast.
Does he listen to the podcast?
I don't know, but he knows we do. He said, how's Don? And I said, not knowing which Don he was talking about, I said, yes, he's good.
How many Dons do you know?
His Don is good.
Now, how many Dons do you know?
Not a lot, but yeah, I just slipped your mind for that second. I just couldn't work out how he would know you.
Oh.
And you told me how he knew you. And
through the TAB. I wonder if
how
he's still
would
a
anyone
TAB.
Possibly know that?
I wonder if he's still that. A TAB agent.
You used to be a TAB.
I did.
Why did you get out of that?
They started to rationalise them and put them into hotels. All the agencies became hotels. I mean, yes, they did. So you now go
all
into
all the hotels
hotel.
Became
agencies.
Agencies,
yes. Mm. Mm. So they closed down the standalones.
And you were one of them.
I was a standalone. Yeah, the agency I had went into the nearest hotel.
And were you affable and pleasant when people came in to ask you to put
now
a bet
what
on?
What would you think?
I would say, you'd say, do it yourself, mate. If you don't know how to bet, don't bother coming in. That's what I reckon you'd say. Imagine you serving the customers about betting on horses. And did you run it well?
Well, I'm still very friendly with some of the customers, especially the ones at Hastings. Anyway, we've gone through Laurie Fowler. Who else was there? Anybody? Yeah. Give a few notables.
I'll tell you what is...
John Van Wisser.
John Van Wisser and Sammy Solomon were
there. They were there.
Sammy,
John Locko was there.
Sammy King Solomon and John Van Wisser. I don't know if you understand what John Van Wisser's done in his life.
And did Rex make a speech?
He did.
What, talk about himself or did he thank people? So he didn't thank the people?
Yes, he did.
He did thank them.
He went through, went round them all and said how they were great friends and all that. And I was there too. So it was a good night. Now, Don... have a listen to this. Well, not have a listen to this. This is...
What about a coffee?
What?
What about a coffee? We've been going long enough. I want a break.
You haven't spoken about one topic.
Oh, bullshit. I've been carrying you.
This is things piss me off. Not piss me off.
Oh, what pisses me off?
What about speed humps in roads?
What?
In the roads.
What about the roads? They are speed humps. The money we pay on excess and red car registration, is it going back into the roads?
Well, it's about to be taken off because they're going to take off the excise on fuel to reduce fuel prices due to the overcharging of fuel due to the crisis that's going on in the world.
Can I just come in here? One of my workers at a petrol station, you know how you can get, we use 20 litre tins for the various machines. We mix up the fuel.
What, do you know two-stroke?
Yeah, make two-stroke. Do you know what they're doing at one particular petrol station? And we caught them out. 20 litre tin, go in to pay your bill. And I just wonder how many people get caught like this, charged for 22 litres. Hey, hang on. We just filled up this thing, which is 20, and you're charging us for 22 litres? Now, how many people and how much money would they make? Because people who go in the car, they wouldn't know how much money. They can't measure what's left or what's in the tank. They put the fuel in and they're overcharged. The only way we knew is we took in a plastic container, filled it up with 20 litres and lo and behold, charged for 22.
Are you saying...
I thought there were weights and measures men out there.
The pumps are meant to dispense to the millimetre or to the...
Well, they don't.
That's
this
the pump's
particular,
fault.
Yeah, no.
That's
I reckon
Barco.
That, but why are they... They used to have weights and... Ray Jordan, remember Ray Jordan, coach of North Melbourne, and I think he was a weights and measured man who used to go around and measure... and check on pumps and whatever else.
But that's not the petrol station.
I reckon they're winding them up or winding them back or doing something.
Don,
that you're being charged.
It's a very serious allegation.
Exactly. Well, I'm telling you what happened.
So it's not the people who own the petrol stations.
Oh, isn't it? Well, who's doing it?
Well, they don't make the equipment that dispenses
but
the fuel.
But you might be able to... Listen, people are very dishonest. And how do you know there's not a racket going on with people going around from station to station?
I don't, Don.
Fiddling with the bloody things.
Okay, so if you fiddle...
With the dials.
I would say if you calibrate $2.30 a litre on the pump, the pump will dispense enough fuel. Right,
well, there's something going on. I told
so
you about 20 litres.
Represent $2.30
20 litres going in and
pump.
Being charged for 22 litres.
I don't understand how if you take a 20, if you fill up 20 litres into a container and it's got 20 litres on the pump and you stop the pump at 20 litres, how they can charge you for 22 litres.
But you fill, can't you understand what my thing is, that you've got a 20 litre container, it's got lines on it.
Yes.
As to how much fuel is in there.
Yes.
It says 20 litres, so you take it up to that line. It's been measured in the container.
Yes.
Okay, you go in and they charge you for 22 litres. Oh, geez, you're thick. Everyone else will understand what I'm talking about.
All right, well, help me through
thick
it.
Thick as a
brick. Okay, help me through this, Don, then. So you take your container.
Jethro Tull wrote a song about you.
You take your
container. In fact, he dedicated an album.
Okay, what is it?
Thick as a brick.
Right, well done. So you take
You remember Jethro Tull?
Mm.
You remember Jethro Tull? You would have played his music. You were in a band, weren't you? Played the drums. Do you remember Jethro Tull back in the 60s?
Let me answer those five questions in order, Don. Yes, I remember Jethro Tull. No, I didn't play in a band.
I thought
you
played
the
drums.
Yes, I've heard
the
song As Thick as a Brick. No, I don't play his music anymore. And what was the fifth question you asked me? I was getting... Don, if
But you were a drummer.
Yep. Now, Don.
And you are trying to be a singer.
Yep.
You
Don.
Do impersonations of Frank Sinatra.
Don.
Or you try.
Don. Thank you, Don. Now, Don, I do not understand what you're saying. And I know I've Jethro Tull and Thick as a Brick and all that. If you take a 20-litre... listen to
Can
me,
we
Don.
Have a coffee break?
If you take a container, it doesn't matter how big the
shit. Anybody... But my grandson would know what I'm talking about. You're as thick. You're going ratty.
You
How old are you?
You looked at the phone in and then you started speaking to the phone. What did you look at the phone for?
Because I'm being sent messages. Can't you hear it going ting?
Yeah, I can. I'm wondering why
it's
you're...
It's a map. A map, Johnny. What are you doing on the weekend? Do you want to come down and watch the show jumping at you know, where we went last time?
Well, I'll be down that way, Don. I'm taking...
At Werribee.
Oh, no, not that's not where I watched the show jumping last
yes,
time.
Did.
No, I didn't. I watched. I filmed you down at Boneo.
No,
remember,
no,
I filmed
you
down
you
there?
You are going ratty. You are going ratty.
The day
I think you should be making investigations about a home.
The day
A home, you know, for aged.
I am glad you said that correctly. Aged.
Because that's you. You are... The last time you came is you gave a running commentary, if you remember, at Werribee Park.
Yes.
Boneo was years ago.
And I filmed you down
there. Yes, that was years
jingling
ago.
Jingling up and down with your agates on the saddle.
That's exactly right. You
there,
bought
you
your big bloody...
Your
what was that code? What was that code?
Stupid
that
grin on your
bloody
face
American thing you do with
fatty
your...
Fatty boomba. What?
Yeah, that... Bloody big American car. You had the hood off.
Yes.
It started to rain. You shit yourself and you had to run about a K to put the roof on.
Yeah, well, that's right.
That was at Boneo.
Yeah, okay. What's
okay,
what I said?
Well, we went last year to Werribee Park.
Yeah. How did we get onto that?
I don't know.
Was talking to you about something.
Listen, let's have a coffee.
No, shut up, Don. I was talking to you about something and you just went off on a tangent. Well, how did we get on to Boneo and horse riding? What was I talking about? To God, you're hopeless.
Don, handball.
Don, I'm going to go on with this. If you take a container, doesn't matter how big it is.
Back to the petrol.
I don't follow what you're saying.
Oh, Jesus, thick
if
as
you
it.
Take
you
a
are thick, mate. You're eloquent, you know the Queen's English, you know the dictionary backwards because you've got a retentive memory, but fuck, you're hopeless.
Would you listen to me? People listening to this will say, Sam, please,
Sam.
Go on with this because I'm with you, Sam. listen to this, Don. You take a container over to the petrol pump and you fill it up no matter
yes,
how...
Yes, up to the 20-litre line.
A minute, Don. Fuck you. You fill it up and on the pump it tells you how many litres you're dispensing, doesn't it? You watch it...
You watch the container because you want that amount of fuel, 20 litres in your container.
If you watch the petrol pump...
I'm telling you, you watch the thing of how much fuel's going into the... You don't want it to spill out over the top or you make it rise because it...
You don't want it to spill out in the top. You can see it if it's filling up. So you fill it up and it says on the petrol pump...
22 litres, but you look at your container, you got 20 litres. Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense what you're saying, but what I'm saying is if you dispense 20 litres out of a petrol pump, out of the bowser, into your container, what does it matter where the fucking...
You've got 18 litres. If it says 20 on the thing, you've got 18, if you look at that. They're overcharging 2 litres.
So if it is just say in round figures $2, just say it's $2 a litre.
Well, it's $2.
In round figures, just for the ease of working out for this conversation.
Righto.
Say it's $2 a litre.
That's right.
And you put 20 litres into this container off the pump, right? And it's $2 a litre. 20 litres would be, that'd be
$40.
Right. So
when you go into pay, he wants $44.
If it's on the pump that's $20.
Mate, it has got 22 litres on the pump. Oh, God, this is just...
It hasn't... can't have...
You are taking me back 40 years.
It can't have 22 litres on the pump.
Listen! It's like fucking 40 years ago when we used to sit down Sunday night and do that Sunday Observer quiz, 50 fucking questions.
If it has...
We'd just say, you can have that question. You'd finish at the bottom every week. The only way you get it is, like I'm going to concede to you now, you can fucking have it. I'm going to argue. Jeez. This is unbelievable. You are fucking thick.
If it has on the pump.
Robbo, please.
20 litres.
Where's your wife? What was wife? Daisy, please help me, Daisy. She'd understand.
20 litres.
Wife number three.
On the pump.
What?
And it's $2 a litre and the petrol attendant says, thank you, Don, give me $40. You've just taken 20 litres of fuel at $2 a litre. How can they dud you?
Come on, I want a coffee. Can you wind it up?
I hope people contact us on social media to say to me, don't touch the button.
Well,
I'm going to...
So I want a coffee. Back? I want to... Yeah, we'll come back because I'm exasperated. I'm fucked.
You're exacerbated.
Oh, yeah. I'm fucking constipated. Shit hit the...
I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back and-